is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Is medicine going to the dogs? Yes, it is, but in a wonderful way. Animal-assisted therapy can help healing and lessen depression and fatigue. And here with more on this are Margaret Nellis, she's Child Life Manager at Upstate University Hospital, and Cindy Griffith, she's a pet owner volunteer, and she has brought along her pet therapy dog, Sebastian. He's a 10-year-old toy poodle, and he's the cutest thing I've seen in years. Welcome to you all. Thanks for coming in. Sebastian's sitting here with his paw on the table, ready to go. And now you're listening to me, Sebastian, right? Would you say something to the microphone? Probably not on command. No, but it's looking at you, Cindy. So, Margaret, tell us about this program. It's a pet therapy program at Upstate. Tell us about it. What is it, and how did it get started?
I started the research back in 1993 regarding how pets can make a big difference in the healing of children while they're in the hospital. And it took about 5 years to really get it off the ground. There was the State Department health codes were very strict about what kind of animal could come in the hospital. And they were really service. It was directed towards service animals and not really having dogs come in and visit an acute care unit. And the driving force behind the research for me was a little girl that I was taking care of, a hematology oncology patient who missed her dog tremendously and was quite upset and struggling with her diagnosis, as well as being here from Binghamton, so not locally.
And so she was away from home.
Away from home.
And away from her, yes. Her pet, yes. Whom obviously she loved.
Yeah, she had a Irish setter who she missed tremendously, and she begged her mom and dad every day to bring the dog. And they did bring the dog, but the dog had to come to the outside of the hospital. And you could just see her get so upset when they put the dog back in the car to take home. So it really was the driving force for me to do a little bit of research on how animals can make a difference in the lives of children who are struggling with chronic illness and really with any kind of illness.
And did you find that the health department was a partner in this, or did it stand in your way? What kind of challenges did you find?
The codes were pretty strict. And being a state university, it was really spelled out that, you know, it was only service animals that were permitted.
Service animals meaning like if you were blind.
Correct. Or you needed some help in getting around. There's different service animals for different
categories.
Categories. And what I did was I found out if there were any hospitals in New York State that were doing a pilot and having animals come. And I did come upon St. Vincent's Hospital in New York City that was doing a pilot in a pediatric unit. And so, again, I was digging, and I had asked if I could do the pilot. I asked hospital administration within Upstate, and they basically said, I don't know, Margaret, about changing that code. That's going to be a lot of work. And I said, well, I'm willing to put the work in if you will stand behind me. So they said, okay, go have it. So I did, and I was getting the paperwork together. And in the meantime, I asked hospital administration, would they be willing to at least give me permission to have the animals visit on the outside of the hospital and not actually bring the animals in? And they said, okay, you know, follow infection control standards, washing hands, what have you. And yes, you may have the dogs come and visit the children outside. So I started outside for, it took about 5 years. We had the dogs come outside and the children come outside.
Wow.
And in the meantime, I was working on the pilot. And in the meantime, St. Vincent's in New York had finished. Everything had proven. There were no obstacles. And I got
no health risks.
No health risks. And the Department of Health called me and they said, you don't even have to finish the paperwork. If the hospital administration is behind you, risk management is behind you, infection control, go ahead and put a program together.
Wow.
They changed, they amended the code in New York State, and here
what
we are today.
What an accomplishment for you.
Yes.
And for the children and the hospital at large.
It was amazing. It was a big feat. I have the date in my head. May 1998 was the day I got the letter.
Wow.
And Assemblyman Bragman was behind me. He actually sent a letter to defend my post in believing that pets could help kids.
So tell us about the program now. I mean, this was, you started, that was over 10 years ago.
Long time.
Yeah, so now what's been going on and how does it work?
Well, the program expanded. We started in pediatrics and now the program actually is expanded to 2 North, which is our rehabilitation physical medicine
For adults as well.
For adults and kids, yes. And then it also is on psychiatry, on 4B, the inpatient unit in the hospital. So right now it's peds, psychiatry, and physical medicine and rehab. And we have had requests from other adult units, and we have granted some requests. But we really do not just let the animals and owners go to units that don't have an established staff member that's vested in organizing the program and following through, because we don't want to jeopardize and have any infection control issues, and then the program would be not happening.
So who gets to see the dogs now? I mean, you mentioned some of the situations. How do you determine who would have Sebastian come visit?
What we do, any child on isolation cannot have a visit. Other than that, as long as the doctor gives the order, the child can have the visit. So we do have to have an order from the physician, and we have to have parents' consent.
So it's basically, at this point, help us understand the goals of the program as you see it, and mm-hmm. how it's being, you know, actuated, how people are getting, how many kids or adults, for example, are taking having the opportunity.
Wow.
For this.
Well, I know on pediatrics, so I know Cindy, when she comes to visit, you could see how many kids?
Sometimes we're there for like 2.5 hours, and we may see as many as 15 or 20 kids.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. A busy day.
Right. And we have Cindy and another pet owner volunteer, Tom, who comes with his dog, Daphne. And they could do another 20. And we have a third person. She's been on medical leave. So we would say maybe 60 kids a month that we would see on a regular basis.
And the goals from your standpoint?
The goals, really, you know, as if you have an animal or a dog at home or a cat, they're unconditional love. They love you for who you are. They're not judging you based on your diagnosis. If you're burned, if you have no hair, or, you know, you're not able to talk, they come in, they can sense what you need, and they just kind of go up to the child, and before you know it, they've bonded. So really the goals are to provide some nurturing to both the patient and to the dog. I think it's a two-way street. They both get something from the interaction. And it's sometimes it's goal-driven, and if we don't have a child that's talking or maybe is having some problems with coping with the hospitalization, the presence of the dog just gives them the ability to open up and start talking about their animal at home or an animal they know. So it's kind of an unpredictable relationship. But the goal is really...
It's comfort and nurture.
It's comfort and nurture.
Like, and
yeah,
acceptance.
Comfort and acceptance.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Child Life Manager Margaret Nellis and our pet therapy volunteer Cindy Griffith and her little pet therapy dog Sebastian, who is 10 years old and he is gorgeous. He is a beautiful toy poodle. And we're talking about what we're doing with pet therapy here at University Hospital. Cindy, you have been a volunteer for quite a while. Tell us about your experience.
Yes, well, I started, it was probably about 8 years ago as a volunteer here. I had just become a member of what is now the PAWS program, was Sunshine Friends at the time, with my dog Sebastian.
And the PAWS program stands for Pet Assisted Wellness Services.
Services, correct.
Okay.
We just changed our name recently, and we were originally Sunshine Friends. And part of the training with Sebastian was that he had to have, in order to go into the hospitals, what they call canine good citizenship certification. And he had just received that through Sunshine Friends. And so I was interested in doing something at the hospitals. And I had heard Upstate had a great program. So I joined the volunteer services. Took about 6 months to get through all the recruitment, and Sebastian also had to go through orientation basically and be approved by the hospital. He had to be seen by the volunteer services, and they had to more or less interview him to see how his temperament was
right.
And whether they felt he would work out in a hospital setting. And so at that point we started coming up here, and one of our first assignments was pediatrics. Obviously, Gail Sano was not here yet at that time, so we were in the main hospital working there. He also was working in, at that time, they had the program in medical ICU, and he worked in medical ICU and also in the rehab program that Margaret mentioned. So he was in all three places originally.
Why did you get involved in this, though?
I got involved in it just because, basically, Sebastian really was the catalyst for me. When we got him as a puppy, the reason we picked him was there was just something. I'd had a lot of dogs, but this one in particular had this ability to connect. From the time that I picked him out of the litter, he would do a lot with eye contact and just really was very intuitive. And I saw that in him, and I thought that, you know, he would really be good with, he just loved people, that he seemed to connect with people really well. And I felt that would be a really good fit for the program.
And you obviously had a need to be a help.
Absolutely.
And to help people with their pain and suffering. So
absolutely.
This is such a wonderful way to do it. And obviously, Sebastian is a very calm animal as we sit here talking on the radio, and he's just nestling so sweetly in your arms. So what has it meant for you to do this?
For me, it's been a tremendous privilege. I really look at it as a privilege and an opportunity to just be a part of people's lives, that people that I would never ordinarily have gotten to meet. I've met some wonderful patients and their families. I've been able to, I hope, at least bring a little bit of peace and brightness in the days of, you know, their suffering and their health issues, and just maybe give some respite to them. And to be able to use Sebastian to do that has just been just so fulfilling. I always say people always are thanking us for doing this, and I always say that I get so much more out of it than I put into it. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, I can see it on your face. Mm-hmm. How about Sebastian? Do you think he gets something out of it?
I do. As a matter of fact, I will tell you that when we come to the hospital, he knows when his certification vest goes on that he's, I always say, going to work. That's his job, and that's what he's been trained to do. And when I put him in the car to come up here, as soon as we turn onto Adams Street, as a rule, he starts barking incessantly as soon as he sees the hospital. And he just gets so excited to be doing this. And so I think for him, too, it's a purpose. And I think, you know, animals need a purpose, too. They need a reason to be. And I think this is his purpose. I think this is why he was put here. And I hope he's brought some joy and happiness
it
to
sounds
people
like he,
here.
Excuse me. It sounds like he must have. Do you have any stories to tell us? Can you think of any particular event that was particularly poignant for you?
I do. There was one little boy, and this was not too long after we had started working up here at the hospital. It was prior to Galisano's, and he was in the pediatric unit. He had brain surgery the day before, and they were having a struggle with him because they were trying to change his IV, and he was being very uncooperative and had been crying and pretty much giving them a difficult time. They didn't know what they were going to do, and then they realized that this was the day Sebastian was at the hospital, so they decided to try and use his therapy. So we came into the room. The boy was crying. He was probably about 9 or 10 years old, and I put Sebastian up on the bed like I normally would do, and I started talking to him, and I asked him, you know, if he played sports, if he liked baseball, just to kind of get his mind unfocused from what was going on, what he was upset about. And as we talked, I noticed that all of a sudden he started to put his hand down and he started petting Sebastian. Mm-hmm. And after a minute or two of that, he suddenly stopped and he grabbed his head and he said, "Oh my gosh." And we all, the nurses and the staff and I myself, you know, were kind of like, "Oh no, what's the matter?" Figuring there was something physically wrong. And he looked at me and he said, "Don't anybody laugh at me." And I said, "No one's going to laugh at you. What's the matter?" And he said, "It's my brain." He said, "I feel it's healing."
Oh, wow.
And it was such a moment. The staff everyone, we just kind of took a deep breath. And I said to him, "You know, this is what the research shows, the mind-body, that if you feel better in your head, the chemicals, the chemistry, you'll heal better. And you've just proven to us and told us that it works."
Wow. Well, I can see why every day you come here must be an incredible experience, and you really are spreading so much healing and goodness. I want to thank you both so much for coming in. My guests have been Margaret Nellis. She's Child Life Manager at Upstate University Hospital, and she developed this whole pet therapy program, and pet owner volunteer Cindy Griffith and her beautiful little dog, Sebastian, 10-year-old toy poodle. Thanks again for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.